And lastly, getting back to the whole idea of abundance, take time to visualize bigger and better than your situation. See yourself where you want to be. Okay, it's very, very powerful. You're a very powerful co-creator, and you'll be amazed at, like, you'll watch your life shift around and start to kind of help you, coax you into where you're saying you want to go. Okay? So that's it, my friend. That's it for the abundance talk. I'm going to go now, and I have quite a few people who submitted a question for the Q&A. I'll get into that in a moment. If you guys have any questions, please feel free to leave them in the comments, and I'll answer them for you. I think I saw a few comments above. I'll go ahead and check it out. Okay, so here's some questions. Colin, what's up, my friend? I said, hey, Vic, I have a QHHT session booked for next week. Have you had one before? I talked about this a couple live casts ago. Yes, I have had it. It was incredibly powerful and impactful. And regardless, it's a time. In fact, I have a theta session tomorrow. I'm not even clear on what that is, quite frankly. I have an idea. My friend Aaron signed up, and he kind of talked me into doing one as well. But my point is, June is a phenomenal time to move extremely fast. So with that speed, sometimes comes the need to quickly let go of a large chunk of baggage all at once. And that's what a QHHT session or a theta healing session or a Reiki session, stuff like that, you might find yourself attracted to. And regardless of what I or other people think, you should pursue that. If the idea of that session is intriguing to you and you feel kind of like subtly guided to do it, then that will work for you. You will have the exact effect and release that you need, and it will be a beautiful thing. But my own subjective experience with that is it's extremely powerful, and I felt like I was floating afterward because I let go of so much in such a short span of time. So yeah, good luck on that. Have fun. That'll be good. Okay, let me see here. This is for Aisty, I still can't pronounce your name. You'll have to let me know how to do it. Can we be overwhelmed by awakening and all the progress we do? Therefore, let me just read this to myself real quick. Yeah, okay. So she's saying that she's like, is it okay, like, when you get really overwhelmed by the awakening, to kind of take a pause and not maybe engage so proactively? Rather, like, just kind of watch TV and indulge is kind of, I think, what she said. Kind of like take a pause. And then she said, you know what, now I feel better having done that. She kind of did that. She was feeling overwhelmed. She decided to kind of just indulge a little bit and just watch some TV and just totally tune all this awakening, or just like fast life advancement stuff. It doesn't have to be awakening related. She tuned it out and she feels better. So I think that's good info. I think you kind of answer your own question there. Yeah, sometimes it does help to do that. Now what I found is when I would do this, I would overindulge and I would do a lot of stuff that had consequences to it that I didn't prefer. So I'd recommend finding maybe like healthy, less consequential ways of taking a pause. Like for me, it could be going to the Red Rocks now going for a walk. That produces the same result for me as like watching TV. Not that watching TV is bad, but watching TV and eating ice cream, that's kind of an escape too, but that leads to consequences I don't like. But yeah, don't feel bad if you feel overwhelmed and you want to take a step back. Not only don't feel bad, but sometimes it's best to do that. Especially if you find that you are overwhelmed and you're trying to keep up, but because of the inevitability, the fact that you are overwhelmed, you're not really getting anything done anyway. You're not really making progress. You're just stressing yourself out. If that's where you're at, which a lot of people get to, me too, even to this day, step back. And that happened to me this morning, actually. I went out to the Red Rocks. I got this new camera. I can't show you right now. And I was so excited to use it. I was going to go out there and make some Instagram videos and shoot a new YouTube video. But I have so many like new ideas kind of bombarding me. It's kind of a good, they're all blessings, but I felt overwhelmed and unable to be centered and shoot these videos. So I went all the way out there and I tried. I shot like 20 little 1 minute Instagram videos and I didn't like them. In the past, I would have like gotten so mad and just insisted and kept running into that wall, even though it wasn't budging at clearly after 20 little videos. Today I stepped back. Took a breath and came home and went to my whiteboard in my room and wrote down all these ideas in my head because I was overwhelmed and I chose to step back. So yeah, for sure. Not only don't feel bad, but it's wise to do so at times. And in your situation, sounds like it was appropriate. Okay, Liz. The million-dollar question. How do you stop caring what other people think of you? You do this by, it's not that you care what other people think of you. It's that you're afraid they're right. It's what you think about you. And when you have harsh criticisms about yourself, you will attract people that reflect that to you. So how do you stop caring what people think? There's no mental tricks or way to kind of dodge the opinions of others. It's to always ask yourself, why do I agree with it? If I said, hey Liz, I don't like your polka dot shoes right now, you wouldn't feel emotionally triggered, unless you do happen to have polka dot shoes on, which I doubt. You wouldn't feel emotional to the point where you'd say, how do I stop caring what people think? This guy's making fun of these shoes, I'm not even wearing them, and I feel so horrible about it. That's not the case. You'd say, okay, weirdo, that's a strange thing to say. But if I said something that you might buy into, you might believe, there's that emotional trigger. And it's not the fact that someone's saying it to you, it's that you believe it. I know it's a tough thing to do, and I had to do a lot of this with my YouTube channel. When I'd see a comment that triggered me, In the beginning, I'd say, how do I tune this out? How do I stop caring what people think? Well, it's every time I see a comment that really gets to me, it's an opportunity to release something that I think about myself. So that's kind of the real way to do it, to where you can really truly not care what people think, is just to use your life examples as a way of clarifying what you think about yourself. Okay, cool. Now I'll go ahead and get into some questions that we had pre-submitted, okay? Okay, Liz, good. I think it's more, I'm afraid to put myself out there because I'm afraid I will be criticized. Knowing sort of where you're at a little bit, I would say that, let me think about that. Yeah, it's still kind of what I said sort of stands true. Why? What are you afraid of being criticized about? That's the question. And for you, being like a content creator, don't wait to that's sort of a situation that you unravel with time. I still have people say things that bother me. So if I was to have waited to have dealt with every single misaligned belief about myself before creating or doing something, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So it's a matter of a choice. Are you willing to put yourself out there in spite of the fact that you will be criticized, especially if you get big? I have negative, hateful, ridiculous comments every single day, people tearing me down. There are people that subscribe to my YouTube channel just to dislike every single video. So it's something that I do in spite of that, because my passion to share is stronger than my desire to avoid those situations. So you just gotta ask yourself, is that the case with you? Which I'm guessing it is. Myrna said, yeah, thanks for the message, Victor. I feel paralyzed by fear and haven't been able to first take that first step. So here's a quote I always say. A lot of us are in places like this. It's, do the thing and you shall have the power. Put yourself out there. Deal with some bullshit for a little while, and then you will see that you can handle it, and then you'll have the groundedness and the confidence to be okay. But you can only do so much preparation beforehand. You got to get some experience in the field, in doing what you're doing, and that will give you the attributes that you think you need beforehand, but you don't. It's a matter of just doing it. It's a choice that you can make at any time, okay? Yeah, Liz, again, don't wait to feel 100% worthy to do your thing. Again, I still don't feel worthy at all times. I still don't feel confident. I don't like being criticized, but I'm doing it anyway. That's the thing. That fear is going to be there, I promise you. It doesn't matter. You can go to 50 QHHT sessions and have the best Reiki healer fly out and do all this work. And when it comes time to put yourself out there, there's going to be something, some kind of block that surfaces. But it's not about all of what I just said. It's about realizing that you can do that in spite of the inner resistance, which is inevitable, okay? You're more ready than you think. Okay, let's see here. This one's for Sarah. She says, as an empath, do you guys experience synchronicities that reflect past experiences that caused emotions to resolve? Essentially, she's saying, I think she's referring to negative synchronicities. And I'll tell you, I get them all the time, but I see them in a positive light. So sometimes you'll get synchronicities that point to not guidance, but something to release. So I had something recently that I was seeing. I was seeing 8585 constantly. It was crazy. In fact, I was pointing them out to my friend. Even when I go to the gym, I'll tell you my locker code. It's 1111. Probably not a surprise there. I'll set it, I'll turn the key, and then I'll spin it randomly. I just spin it. And twice in a row, it came out 8585. It was just crazy. I've been seeing 8585 all over the place. But to me, it's not like, oh, good, the 85. It brings up these feelings, these darker, denser feelings, and I know what it means. It represents my wife, Patty. Sure, that's her birthday, 8/5/1985. So she had just recently gone to Peru. And this 858585 was, I now know what it is, but at the time I didn't. It was reflecting to me insecurity. She's never been away for a week. And when I was 12, a girlfriend broke up with me. The little stuff like that, sort of what is as out of my mind as it's been for a long time, it was coming up. It was being triggered by the situation. And the negative synchronicities were helping me say, hey, dude, you got this thing that is ripe to let go of now. And I did, and I feel a lot better. I have a lot more of a stability in myself about a relationship, and it was a beautiful thing. So that's how I'd recommend using those negative synchronicities. Okay, here's one from Helene. She says, how do I recommend handling large crowds of people? I had a whole empath talk. I don't know if you guys missed it, but last week's session was all about empaths, and I didn't get into this one too much. So she's like, how do you handle large crowds of people? So one thing I felt guided to say is that, for one, know it's a phase. It's not going to be how it is forever. And I see a lot of people really strongly identifying with the idea of being an empath as something different and separate. And as an empath, we have these limitations and these problems and unique obstacles like that. But I want you to know it's a phase. And as long as you don't identify with it, it'll be a fleeting one, a passing one. It won't last forever. It's just you're not yet used to your sensitivity, and it can take some time just staying grounded and detached from all the different things that you're now perceiving very quickly. So that's something I think is very important, is to just know it's a phase. Another tip is to meditate. I used to have something, what I would call a go-to mantra. For a long time, I would teach my coaching clients a mantra because I wanted them to be able to have a cue to bring them into a meditative state. So mine was, my favorite is "so hum." I'd repeat that over and over in my head every morning. So in a grocery store, and if I was feeling all the emotions and it was hard not to focus on them and get drained by them, I would just say "so hum." And because that represented me in a different state of being, it allowed me to tune out of all that drama and into my place of stillness and acceptance. So a lot of it just a mastering of your focus. When you perceive intense emotions from other people and you can feel it in your body, in the beginning it's hard not to focus on it. Wow, they're doing that, it's causing this, and it's like this thing that we fuel with our focus. That's why I would bring it back to the soul hum. I'd ignore that. I want no part of that. And then that stillness that you focus on grows. And they're still there, but you're not experiencing them. Another thing is to think real positively and do something called mental rehearsal. So I don't know about you, but I've had many chaotic times in the grocery store. Imagine like a really empathic person going through that exact phase with young children running around in the grocery store. It was like just madness, just pure chaos. And so I had a few bad experiences under my belt. So it was hard not to go into the store feeling like it's going to happen again. I would like set myself up for another situation like that. And then it was like the sensitivity had long worn off, but I was creating this because I thought that's just what happens in grocery stores. I'm overly sensitive and I go crazy. My kids go nuts and it's stressful. So something as simple as taking a minute or two to use a very powerful technique known as mental rehearsal can go a long way. So don't get lost in the past and project that into the future. Rather, see what you want to see. I'm going into a crowd, and it's gonna be good. I'm gonna run into the right people that I vibe with. It's gonna be smooth. I'm gonna feel good. I'm gonna be like in my mind thinking of something positive, and it's gonna go by fast, and I'll get home and I'll feel good. So just do that. Kind of see yourself playing it out like that, and it will have a real big impact on how you experience that situation, which a lot of it is just subject to your own decision of how you want to experience it. And you can sort of program yourself to experience it in an ideal way. And lastly is to clear yourself after. If none of that worked and you feel yourself affected, go home and take like a salt shower or an Epsom salt bath or use some sage. Clear your energy a little bit. Okay. So Linda had a question that I was unable to answer because it doesn't happen to me that much. But I consulted with my wife because this happens to her all the time and she's dealt with it successfully. So what I'm going to share with you is advice from my wife, Patty, here. So essentially what Linda was describing is a list of symptoms, basically feeling like very dreamy and spacey, like in the dream state, but not very detached from what's going on in life. And when you're sort of like out of your body, kind of, you can be very irritable, like out of the blue, difficulty handling noise, just really like there's like a discord. Sometimes you lose your train of thought when you're speaking to people. Patty calls it popping out of her body. Whether that's actually happening or not, I don't know. Kind of just zoning out. And meditation doesn't help, at least Patty, because it makes her more like that, more like disconnected. So Linda was curious, like, why does this happen and how do I stop it? Valid questions, I see. So Patty's suspicion is that there were situations when she was very young that it was like a coping mechanism for her soul, like really hard, something that happened that was real hard for her at a young age that was too much for her little mind to handle, so she kind of just like detached herself. And as a result, when things come up in her life, it just becomes this like habit that happens more and more and more. And it's something she really deals with a lot with like the kids, because the kids are always stressing her out. And she's always saying, oh, she's like popping out of her body. Now, I don't mean that literally. I just mean like her consciousness kind of like goes elsewhere, and there's that like disconnect. And then again, the slew of symptoms that I described, the sensitivity to noise and sound, just not feeling good, feeling spacey, losing your train of thought. So it's like, so I said, okay, babe, what do you do? What have you done with this? So she said this, like in short, the key is grounding yourself multiple times per day. And I'll share with you what things she suggested. So she just has all these little techniques. She's kind of aware that she does this, aware that it makes her not feel good. So she just is sort of proactive in making sure she stays sort of more physical and more grounded. So she has all these crystals she wears around, like 14 bracelets on each arm, it seems, of these crystals. She's got this crystal necklace. She's really into crystals that can help. She has this technique that she learned from this other like spiritual advisor. It's a tapping technique. You make your fingers like this, and you go kind of where your pec, it's like your chest muscle, there's a space between your chest muscle and your collarbone, and you do that. I see Patty doing this all the time, and I know, okay, she's trying to ground herself, but just, she said that seems to work a lot, actually. Grounding essential oils, in fact, I had this thing going right now. I don't know if you can see it. It's cedar oil. She wrote down lavender and cedar oil are essential oils that just smelling them can bring you back into your body. Salt baths, showers, etc. Grounding foods. Patty drinks a lot of coffee and she felt bad. Like, I don't know if all this caffeine is good for her. A spiritual advisor said that's kind of a grounding food and that's why you like it so much. So you might find yourself attracted to foods and stuff like that. So yeah, just take the task of grounding yourself very seriously, is what I would say. Also, another question is like, she said, as an empath, I tend to pick up a lot of physical ailments and tension. So I will say this. Yes, that does happen. Empathic people can like manifest stress and stuff in their body physically a lot, kind of, me too. But I wouldn't look at it as a limitation. A lot of people look at that as a problem to deal with, rather than that's just information. That's an increase of data and information that you can use. For example, when I was a personal trainer, I knew it was time to hire somebody because I was getting too busy, but I was afraid to. My soul was like, come on, Vic, it's time to do this, but I resisted, I was afraid. So I manifested physically golfer's elbow in both elbows, ironically, at my age, horrible golfer's elbow where I literally couldn't lift up dumbbells. I almost couldn't be a trainer anymore. And it didn't go away, it lasted months. So I could have looked at that as I'm an empath and this is a problem I have. I pick up these symptoms all the time. Or why? What is this trying to help me with? Hire a trainer, Victor. You'll be a lot less stressed. It's going to be okay. Nothing to worry about. And the symptom, the physical symptom helped, kind of forced me to do that. So you can look at your, even though it's not fun to have golfer's elbow, it was in the end worth it. So if you have that mindset, it can help you a lot. And you'll find the faster you can discover the real reason for that symptom, the faster it goes away. Okay, so this one is for Cindy. So Cindy's in a process of trying to discover her purpose, and she's doing a phenomenal job because she's doing a lot of experimentation. She's running into it can be kind of confusing when you do this. You'd be excited to do one thing and then excited to do another one. You're not sure how to like bridge them and which one to do first. You do both of them, or is one not right? It can be kind of confusing. But anyways, she got to a point where this finally sort of coalesced and there was an idea where these two things she wanted to do, which I think had to do with art and writing a book, kind of, she had the idea to do like an online comic or something to that effect. And she said she was hyperventilating with excitement. But then there was a but. There was like, okay, I don't know if this means I'm on the right track, but I'm afraid months down the road, I'll lose that loving feeling and abandon yet another project. So this is an example of her getting very, very clear guidance to do something, but then the mind swoops in and says, well, what about this? Have you thought about this? And then we put a lid on our happiness, joy, excitement, and passion. And what I told her is I said, yeah, when you have those ideas of excitement, you gotta like nurture that and go with it and flow with it. Expect your mind to come in and try to like suppress it. That's kind of normal, but I've learned to literally just ignore that and tune it out, because that excitement is like the translation of your body for your soul calling you more home, you could say. So you going and doing that online comic is going to help you step into more of yourself, more of your abundance flow, more of your joy, more of your happiness, more of your passion, and all good things. So you don't need to even concern yourself about, well, the what ifs. The what ifs will do nothing but stop you. You can trust the passion. And I know some people would argue, well, you know what? Sometimes I follow the passion and then it ends up being something that's not really ideal for me. Or I end up not wanting to do that. But what you'll find is when you do this, even if it's a little bit of a pause, there'll be another passion to go on. And my wife is going through this too, big time. So as I always talk about, she was like super excited to be a shaman, like an ayahuasquero, someone who takes people through ceremonies. She's been studying like left and right so much. She even went to Peru last week. But when she got there, I mean, that was all her excitement. That was her following her joy big time. She was beaming with it, just like you. And she got there and said, you know, I realized as she was watching this shaman do the work, she was just like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if that's it. And there's a moment of kind of like frustration, like, oh, like now what? Back to the drawing board. And I know I've been there too. And even though she's kind of still sitting with that, I guarantee, and you'll probably hear me talk about it, there'll be another wave of enthusiasm in another direction. And even though you might not see how this pursuit of being a writer or whatever, or being an ayahuasquero fits in with this new excitement, it might be something different, it will. I guarantee it. You'll look back and say, oh my goodness, I had to follow this to get to here, and I had to get to here to get to here, and here's where I really want to be, and they all link together beautifully, seemingly in an incoherent way, and yet perfect and fast. Okay? So I'm saying, if any of you have that passion about anything and your mind says, what if, ignore the mind and follow the passion. You will not be disappointed, and it really is a fast track to everything you want in life, even if your mind doesn't understand like how yet. Okay? Whoops. Sorry. Okay, a couple more questions here. If you guys have any last ones, go ahead and again leave them here. Okay, this last one for Billy. Billy was told he needs to ground and make sure to do grounding when meditating. He hears it all the time. Make sure to be grounded. Make sure to ground when you meditate. He's like, what does that mean exactly? He doesn't really know what grounding means, essentially. He's like, is it a visualization? Should I use a smoky quartz? Like what? What is this grounding talk? So in the case you guys don't know, I'll just explain to you what that means real quick and how to do it. So when it comes to meditating, sometimes when people say to be grounded after meditating, it's because like the deeper you get into a meditation, it's almost like sleeping. And if you're woken up abruptly and shoot back into your life after a deep sleep, you feel spacey. feel kind of like that disconnected feeling. You just don't feel your best. That's being ungrounded and can happen when you don't allow yourself time to transition from the meditative state to your waking like alpha or beta state of awareness. So if you're getting a deep meditation, take a few minutes to come out of it. Like a few minutes to become aware of your body and slowly go back to life, and you'll feel a lot better and more refreshed and not so ungrounded. But yeah, being ungrounded just feels like you're spacey, you're in the cloud, you're like ADD all over the place, you're just like not really focused and coherent, your just thoughts are just jumping from one to the next, and you can sometimes tell you're ungrounded by how people are responding to you, like they're struggling to like, where are you at, buddy, what are you trying to say? So that's just kind of a general idea of what it feels like to be ungrounded. But yeah, if you find yourself like that, coming off ungrounded and unfocused, then just there's a million grounding techniques. Go for a walk in nature. Walk barefoot on like the earth, on the grass. Eat heavier food. Just be mindful and kind of slow yourself down. So that's what it means, buddy. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that's it, my friends. I hope you guys enjoyed this session. Next week, I'm going to talk about shadow work. A lot of people talk about like shadow work and don't really know what it is or how to do it. How often should they be doing it? So next week, I'm going to talk all about shadow work and kind of help you guys out with that. I get a lot of requests about that topic. Okay. I hope you're all doing well. I hope you're all having an amazing, great week. Thank you so much for the birthday wishes. That was beautiful. Seriously, you guys, and if you didn't wish me one that you probably didn't know, don't feel bad, but many of you did, and I'm touched, and I really appreciate it. It was just very nice to see. I never thought I'd be in a place in my life to get so many people wishing me happy birthday when I didn't even go about announcing it. So anyways, thank you guys. Have an amazing weekend. I'll talk to you soon. If you're just coming on, here's a reminder. On the website, I'm going to give you a full month of a heads up of when the next live cast will be. So you'll have more than a week or a few days to kind of schedule yourself if you want to make it live. Okay? So that's in the works as well. Have an amazing one, my friends. Namaste.